Good morning. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ again this morning. And good to see you all here. And it's kind of a crisp day out there in the morning, but it's not too bad for February, that's for sure. At least there's no snow on the ground. And Cindy and Brenda, thank you very much for your song. Susan, thank you for your service. I'm going to read to you out of Hedelman, the second chapter, the 31st verse. And kind of a background on this scripture, Hedelman was the judge, and they'd had quite a bit of iniquity going on, and then they had a period of prosperity. And they were being baptized, and many joined the church, and many getting along with each other, really had a lot of prosperity. And then they started having pride enter in. You know, they were so prosperous, they started being prideful. And that pridefulness caused them to hurt ones that didn't have as much. So they began to speak evil about them. And this is the response of those people. And they said they... Now this was a great evil which did cause more humble part of the people to suffer great persecutions and to wade through much affliction. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray often. And they had waxed stronger and stronger in their humility and firmer in the faith of Christ, and the filling of their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts. And sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts to God. We are going along with the yearly theme. I want to sing bulletin, and there's an insert that has the hymn we're going to sing next, hymn number 414 out of the Purple Hymnal, and it's Keep Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Oh, it is wonderful faith. Our Father, we thank you for this hour to be with you and for your spirit to be with us this morning. And we thank you for this beautiful morning and ask that your spirit might be with us through the service and with Mike as he delivers those words which you've given him, that they might be edifying to all those that hear it this morning, and that it might help us go closer to you and more in tune with thee through our daily walk with you. And I ask thee in thy most holy name, even Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Come to that part of the service where we can give a little bit back to our Lord and Savior for the things he has done for us. For the scripture reading, I'm taking it from the Book of Mormon, third book of Nephi. And we've heard these words several times, but Christ is talking to the people. And he says this: "And now it came to pass that when Jesus had expounded all the scriptures in one with which they had written, he commanded them that they should teach these things which he had expounded unto them. And it came to pass that he commanded them that they should write the words which the Father had given unto Malachi, which he should tell unto them." And this is in the 11th chapter of the third book of Nephi, and we can find these same things in Malachi, the third chapter, and the fourth chapter. But I'm only going to read a portion of it that I think applies for today. "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have kept them not. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, where shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be more than enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourers for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field is ready, saith the Lord of hosts." And this part, I think, applies to us, that all nations should call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land and the Lord of hosts. That is the calling that our Lord has given unto us as we bow our heads for the offering that is to be taken this day. Almighty God and eternal Heavenly Father, we come before thee at this time asking for thy blessings upon this offering that is collected this day, that it might be used to make this land what thou would have us bring it to, that your holy city might be able to return. And we would pray for those that are responsible in the spending of this money, dear Father, that they might be blessed by Thee and guided by Thee. And we thank Thee for those that are able to give this day. And we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
My scripture reading this morning is from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the appeasement for God's justice. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
Thank you.
I'm so appreciative of the music this morning. Brenda and Cindy and Susan. Your efforts have borne fruit. And we have all partaken of that goodness. Appreciate the hymn that was selected by Harry. Kind of a different version of that song. We're used to singing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." And this was, "Keep your eyes upon Jesus." I think about Peter, as he turned and kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on water. The hard part is to keep your eyes upon Jesus. But I know that we are all working to do just that. We are entering the season of love, you might say. All they want to do is talk about love. This is, unfortunately, a quote or similar to a quote that I made years ago in great error. All they want to do is talk about love. I guess I thought it was just too elementary. It's too simple. Well, I was wrong. We know that the gospel in one word is love. Continuing on in that first book of John, chapter 4, verse 12, "No man hath seen God at any time except them who believe." If you believe, you can see God. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. I want that to sink in. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Do you believe that? I do. "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Have you ever heard anyone say, "I just don't see God"? I believe that God is dwelling in this room. He is within each of you. And I see it in your faces, in your eyes. God dwells in you. That is beautiful. He dwelleth in us, and we in him. That's a relationship. When we love one another, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. He exists in this world. We can see him in one another. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. If God dwells within us and we hate our brother, how can we say that we love God? A week ago, yesterday, I had the privilege of attending a memorial service for Sister Barb Newcomb. Sounds kind of funny that someone would say you had a privilege. But these memorial services are really special. They're not gloomy at all. It's a celebration of that love that was offered by the one that has gone on. See, that's what we remember, is those acts of kindness, those labors of love, the sacrifices made that truly make an impact on us. That is what love is all about. Something that I've never heard at a memorial service is he or she loved way too much. Too much for my liking. I don't think it's possible to love too much. My aim here this morning is not to be critical, but to encourage. For I know that each of us have love in our hearts, and we desire to share that with others. But we can always do more, can't we? And we shouldn't wait for others to make the first move. It's hard to step out in faith and to share that love. Had an interesting week last week. I had to call my mom's insurance agent in Woodbine. And turns out he was a high school friend of mine. And we don't talk very often, but I'd say we had a pretty good friendship in high school. I had to leave a message because I later found out that he was having a meeting and later lunch with a high school classmate of mine. And as we were talking on the phone, I noticed he was having trouble speaking. And I said, Bill, sounds like you're under the weather. You doing okay? And he shared with me some challenges that he's going through. That's a lot more than being under the weather. A young guy struggling with health concerns. before we hung up, I said, Bill, I love you. Now, Bill is my teammate on the basketball court. We ran track. We played baseball. I guarantee you we never said, I love you. We were way too tough for that. But he said, I love you too, Mike. And then I had the opportunity to message my classmate that was having lunch with Bill to let him know that I loved him. My football teammate, again, we never shared that in high school. We should never wait for opportunities to say those words. When my brother was fighting cancer, his high school friends had scheduled an ongoing phone call, same time every week. And it was a conference call, and they all just got on the call. Gave Jeff something to look forward to. Again, teammates that never expressed that kind of stuff. But that meant so much to him that he knew that they loved him and they were pulling for him. Simple acts of kindness. One of the greatest needs we all have is that we simply need to be loved and loved unconditionally. There are so many ways to express that love to one another, and we shouldn't be critical of how other people do that. We're all different. We're all gifted with different talents. There's so many different ways to share your love with others. But I will say that actions, as we know, are louder than words. Jesus showed us what love is all about. He did it through action. He didn't just come down and give the sermon on the mount and then return to heaven. He showed us by example, by that ultimate sacrifice that he made to those that rejected him. James 1 and 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or self-serving, self-consuming. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was, forgetting that God sacrificed all for him, not to be a dead work, but a living work, not to be for us only, but for us to pass on to others, bearing fruit. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the vices of the world. I was so pleased to see my friend Alec Davis. He started this organization called Operation Widow Relief. Some of you may have seen emails or advertisements about that. And you can get on opwidowrelief.org if you want to learn more. But I'm so thankful he took on the leadership of providing a platform for us to give financially or with our hands. And for those that have needs, they can express those needs there. What a beautiful service he is offering. Our works are our fruit and a reflection of our love, our labor of love. Alma 3:57, behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them, and he saith, repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me, and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand, that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness, you see the parallel there? The same have cause to wail and mourn. Yesterday, I did some pruning. Went out to our raspberry bushes and blackberries, blueberries, and removed the dead canes, they're called. And if you don't do that, they stop producing fruit. And so we need to continually, periodically, be pruned of our dead works. You know, that's what we did last Sunday in partaking of the sacrament and remembering that covenant that we made, allowing God to remove those dead works that are not bearing good fruit. And he can only remove those if we allow him to and we come to him in repentance. But we need to be pruned. It's not our job to prune others. That's God's job. I remember when I was in kindergarten, I was we had half day, and I was in the afternoon, and I was taken to the apple orchard with my grandma, and we got to sort apples. And I have this memory. I wish I could see the actual sorter again, but it was this machine that you dump the apples in and take it up a conveyor, and then it would be sorted based on the size of apple, and then it would come down to a chute. And Grandma taught me how to pick the rotten apples out and put them in a box, and we were inspecting the fruit. That's what God does for us. What fruits are we producing? Matthew 7:28, Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Verily I say unto you, it is not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, that shall enter unto the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. For the day soon cometh that men shall come before me to judgment to be judged according to their works or according to their fruit. And many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Those are some amazing works, aren't they? But what fruit was produced? And then will I say, you never knew me. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, we're not saved by our works. We know this. We are saved by grace, which is sufficient. But our works are a reflection of that love, that love of Christ in our heart. We don't have a bank account that we store up all these works that we've produced, thinking that we can make a withdrawal at any time. That's not what it's all about, is it? It's about loving others. Season after season after season, we can never rest and think we've loved enough. We have to be honest, though. Some people are easier to love than others. We need to be those people that are easy to love. Sometimes the best thing we can do for someone is to forgive them, whether they ask for it or not. If we can just forgive them. Those that are difficult to love oftentimes are those that need it the most. Christ loved those that rejected him, and he had compassion for them. John 1:10, the Son of God, he who was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. I want to quit a little bit early. I have a tendency to get long-winded sometime, and I realize that we have a hard time keeping our focus and attention. I do. And so sometimes the fewer words that are said, the better. You heard about the young man that asked his father about the names of those that were displayed on a memorial in the church. And his dad said, well, those were men and women that died in the service. And the poor boy thought, how long do these services last? So I don't want to be long-winded today. I also, you thought I was going to quit. I also want to challenge us.
That's why I want to quit early. I want to give us more time to visit in the fellowship hall. I want to challenge you to engage with someone that you don't normally visit with. Step out of your comfort zone. Look them in the eye. And see God dwelling in them. And let them know that you love them. That will have way more impact than anything that I could say. I love you.
Dear God in heaven, Lord, I'd come to you now at the close of this thy hour that you have blessed us with, Lord. I would pray that you would be with each and every one here and be with them in their minds and their hearts, Lord, to know of the words that were shared today, that they would be of joy in our hearts and in our mind, that we would know that we are loved by you, Lord, as we know that everything that we have and have been given and will have is from you. And I would pray that you would bless our fellowship, Lord, and everybody that you would be with their words that they would speak and those thoughts that they would have as they leave this room, that they would leave with the Spirit that you have pressed upon them today, Lord, that they would be pure and of one mind, Lord, that we would one day see thy face and know that our works were truly for you. We just pray that you bless our safety as we depart from this house, that you would keep us safe and guide us in our endeavors, that we would be of good cheer until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.